Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you're putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
When you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Why didn't you say that before?
Okay, Jimmy, you're off the hook. We got Miami, Cincinnati coming up. Any thoughts?
I certainly do, Brett. I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every two-bit local columnist, I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is the damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a six-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper, because when you see this game, you're going to sh**.
College game of the month, absolutely free.
Meet Stu Finer, nickname The Source.
Listen.
He promises, quote, to piss on your bookie's face.
We got a quarterback picking North Carolina State +4. You can't have that, you know.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Let's get ready to gamble.
Gotta like the custom open for 2025. The long-awaited return, the triumphant return of Mr. Baseball Season Totals Over and Unders, Mr. X. How we doing?
That's a great intro. That made this a bad day to quit drinking. You got me all excited.
By the way, that is a mere smattering of my favorite gambling-related sound bites from the archives. Yeah. I had to pick and choose. It was still a one-minute-long intro, but I enjoyed all of those little bites right there. Yeah. It's been far too long. We kind of put you away for the off-season, so you are fresh for the regular season. Football's upon us. We already have week zero under, you know, on the books. You got dads fighting sons in parking lot puddles. Did you see that story with the quarterback at K-State, Avery Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
His dad got into a wrestling fight with his other brother, with the son, his second son. Like, they're literally rolling around wrestling each other in a puddle outside the stadium in the parking lot, and people are going, oh my God, this looks awful. What are you doing? Stop it already. They actually had to apologize because it had gone viral and they didn't feel like that they could deny it. So, check that one out. I believe X2, X3, X4, X5, X9, X11, all of your various X's know about this and are laughing because it's
a I'm sure. And it's 1 through 4, by the way. But yes, okay. All I can say is it's a good thing we didn't have phones back in the day.
Oh, my God. Well, yes, so that brought up a topic on the air today of have you ever fought your dad? Or has your dad ever fought you? Or, you know, do you know of any cases like this where it just came to blows or wrestling with your dad? A couple of people said they went to the ground with their uncle, but that was about it.
No, so. not in my family. A couple of harsh words here and there. That's about it, man.
All right, so I'm going to start today. We got a lot to get to. You've got a lot of stuff teed up for the upcoming football season. We're going to talk some over-unders and totals and all that other stuff for football. But I got an email here I want to address out of the gate regarding the it has nothing to do with you, but you're gonna be the ride along on this.
All right, okay.
Add your perspective if you like. This is from one Richard Mallon, and he writes about the FedEx Cup, recently won by Tommy Fleetwood. Now the format this year, they made another tweak because they keep tweaking this thing, is that the top 70 players in points at the end of the regular season on tour are entered into the playoffs, to quote Jim Mora. Then after the first round of the playoffs in Memphis, they cut down to the low 50. But they cut down to the low 50 carrying the points you've already accrued from the regular season and then additional points that you may gain in the first playoff event, Memphis. This meant that Rory McIlroy knew that he mathematically didn't even have to play Memphis, so he skipped it. And I don't blame him, because Memphis in mid-August, hotter than the fucking surface of Mars. Okay, so that's not ideal, right? You don't want guys skipping your so-called playoff events. Then they go to the second playoff event, and that was BMW at Caves, and they added more points in order to, you know, to get you into the final 30, but again, they were still carryover from your regular season. Once they got to Eastlake this past week, Mr. X, they cut everything off, they wiped the slate clean, and they just played 30 guys for the first prize of $10 million. Does that make sense? Have I explained it sufficiently?
Okay.
You with
All
me?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Richard Mallon writes to say, I do have a question about the FedEx Cup that maybe you can talk about. It was bothering me as someone who records and watches almost every weekend of the PGA Tour season. That's a lot of pro golf, sir, but okay. Scottie Scheffler has won 5 times and had a lead so big it might as well be thousands of points in the standings. I know that they want this event weekend to matter, but what's the point of counting points every week with the exception of the final one? If Scheffler isn't your season-long champion, then I feel like tracking these points is a joke unless you're near the cuts for each playoff round. Well, do you know what the answer to that is? In other words, why? And what's the point? Why would the PGA Tour do this?
Well, I know my answer, but what is it, the real answer?
Well, you tell me what yours is, and I'll tell you what I think mine is.
I'm just going to rough it into all the talk about formats. I just nauseate me in every sport, because every year there's an exception to, oh, we didn't think about that. Why does the division winner get home field when they went 7-10? We didn't know that was going to happen. Okay, let's change it. Whatever. Play and win. The winner won.
Okay.
Move on.
So here is my best answer to this. And this came up during a golf course rant with the fellas because someone else was saying, this is dumb. They shouldn't do it this way. Why do they do it this way? And I'll give you a simple answer, Richard Mallon. It's because in America, everything in sports has to be a fucking TV show. Everything.
Sure.
It's all about a TV show. So, in other words, God forbid something is a foregone conclusion because one person had dominated all year like Scheffler. We got to have a TV show. Well, we can't have the final tour event of the year be a fait accompli because Scheffler's right. that much better. And I started comparing other sports and other leagues not in America that don't care about this. For example, the Premier League in England, soccer, they don't even have playoffs, Mr. X. They have a table. And sure. they keep the standings, and you win the league in the regular season. Playoffs are a foreign concept to them. Formula One. Formula One, oftentimes, the winner of that circuit will have it wrapped up with like three races to go. They don't sure. care. In America, everything has to be a goddamn TV show, and therefore, they're going to keep monkeying with the format yeah. so that every game matters. But in reality, right. sometimes games don't matter. In reality, if you just want to crown somebody who's the best, you're going to, you know, advance them into the finals. And so, you know, this is what's happened with the baseball playoffs, as you know. It's watered down and expanded to the mm-hmm. point where it's a crapshoot now. What's the point of winning 100 games in the regular season? I guess because it's fun. But if you're a wild card, you probably got every bit as good of a chance.
So, yeah.
There you
Why
go.
Why do you think? Why do you think they call it money?
Everybody needs money. So there
you go.
That's
why they call it that. Well, this is equivalent of in baseball. I'm sorry, you know, in baseball, the 40s, 50s, the dynasty Yankees had the best record and were in the World Series every year. Two best teams, World Series. If you had playoffs, they'd have been in 2 or 3 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, you don't win every year. But if you want the two best teams, take the best record. You got no playoffs. You got no money. So get over it.
And I guess because Richard Mallon, because television foots the bill for everything in America sports-wise, they call the shots. And so when television yep. says, hey, man, we're trying to have a show here, then yep. then the leagues listen. This is why the NFL, when scoring was in a drought in the early 90s, you were having 6-3 games. Because the yeah. defense was just running roughshod. Sports Illustrated famously ran that cover piece saying, can the NFL be saved? Yep. Can the NFL be saved? With a picture of a Jets player kneeling and a 6-3 score. They tweaked the rules because they said we want, on average, to every game to be about 24-21. We want about yeah. 5 touchdowns at least per game. Why television? It's very simple. That's why you can't even look at a quarterback. Much less touch them. You breathe on a quarterback. Flag. Why? The NFL is what? A TV show.
TV show about quarterbacks.
A TV show about quarterbacks. Okay. Yep. That said, let's get to some stuff here. We're going to pick All right. the divisions. And, All right. and we're going to pick our Super Bowl now. We're going to get our story straight. We All do right. want to review your MLB picks. We do want to talk NCAA college football and the general landscape as they're about to kick off an amazing week one with a bunch of heavyweights. We're going to remind people of some betting tips as we go forth into this season. And then okay. we'll mop up everything else. But before all that fun,
Uh-oh.
We got a story from Mr. X Uh-oh. Called Don't Tell Mom 2. For those that may have forgotten, the yeah. name of Mr. X's boat up in Maine at his Maine cottage was Don't Tell Mom. Because when he bought it, he did so on a wildcat sort of hunch, didn't run it through Congress, just said, I'll sustain the congressional investigation, Ollie North style. And yeah. and that was the running joke. Now, it turns out the family loved it and the kids love it. And I believe mom loves it too, but the boat was called Don't Tell Mom. Don't yep. tell yep. me, Mr. X, you bought another boat, please.
Yeah, I did. And this one went over oh! with a bigger anchor than the first
oh,
one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
By the way, the person who likes the first boat the best is Kobe, the German Shepherd. Oh, he yeah. loves it the most.
Of
yeah.
course. Of course your German Shepherd loves it.
He does what I call, he goes full Titanic on it. He sticks his head through the railing out over oh. the bow and like he's on the Titanic, you know.
He must love yeah, that thing. Okay, so give me the story of Don't Tell Mom 2.
Okay, the quick version is after a couple of years, I decided last summer I needed to replace the seats. They were old and ripped and crappy in a good boat.
Yeah, there's like you can do that without buying a new boat, you know.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to do. And there's only one guy in the county that reupholsters them, and I had like a 3-year wait. So I decided, screw it, and I bought brand new seats for the boat. I can do it myself.
Where'd you buy them? Temu?
No, I bought them at the best place there is.
A genuine boat shop?
Yeah, pontoonstuff.com.
Okay.
And I bought them there, and I bought what I thought were brand new, great seats, and they were. But when you put – how many times does this story happen in life? As you're putting in the best new stuff, you realize how good the old stuff was. And, you know, the new things are just not as plush, not as comfortable, not as big. Everything about them, as I put them in, I was like, I just spent $4 to make my boat worse. Okay? So I wasn't happy. Well, this spring.
So you're saying the quality of the new seats,
Just not as good.
Even though bought from a reputable boat dealer,
great company,
just not good.
Not the same. Like everything these days, the old stuff was better, plusher, thicker. It was all good, but you can't get old stuff.
Did you install them correctly?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, was it hard?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Not bad.
Not really.
So
took
far,
some time,
so
but
good.
It's okay. I've got time.
You got time. That's right.
So this spring, the guy reaches out to me and says he can probably fit me in this year. So I saved the old seats, and I looked and looked, and I was like, you know what? F it. I'm going to fix the old ones because once they're reupholstered, I'll spend twice as much, but I'm willing to do it. So then you have a problem of what do you do with the brand new 4K seats when you take them out of the boat?
Hold on. 4K meaning that's the resolution of the seats or that's
no,
how much
that's
it costs?
The cost. The cost. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So hold on. So
right.
You put the new seats in, kept the old ratty seats.
Correct.
Didn't like the new seats because they just weren't as robust and well made as the old ones.
Exactly.
Then the professional who's going to do the reupholster says, I think I can fit you in. And you say, okay, great, because I still have the ratty old seats that are more substantial.
Yep.
Let me go take the new seats back out again, put the old seats in, and then you can go reupholster them.
That's the long-run plan. But the point is, he's going to fit me in August, and this is in May. So I look at it, and I think, okay, when this happens, what am I going to do with the seats I just put in? You know, you're going to get 20 cents on the dollar maybe if you try to sell them, even though they're brand new. Nobody wants to buy them secondhand. So I thought, I'm not going to just try to sell those brand new 4K seats. I'm going to find a shit boat with bad seats, and then I'll put these in it, and I'll renovate it, and I'll flip it. So flipping.
So in other words, you were using your best boy math, math of, hey, yeah, this would be great. I'll save the money on the $4,000 seats by buying a whole new boat. You're all of a sudden part of Boat Flippers International on HGTV. You've got no experience in this.
Hey, I do. I just put them in last year. You're starting to sound like Mrs. X.
Well, you got no experience in flipping boats.
No, but I can. I've already done it once. I can do it. So anyway,
okay.
That was my plan, and I think Mrs. X only half paid attention because it was like one of those things I talked about, and she didn't think would really happen. But then one day she actually did the take an afternoon nap thing, and she knew I was going out for afternoon drinking at the pub with my buddy Dan. And all of a sudden I get a text from a guy, Mike, who's been looking out for boats for me and says, look at this one I found, let's go. And I said, pick me up. So I'm driving and all of a sudden I get a text from Mrs. X that says, where are you? And I said, going to Ellsworth to look at buying a boat with Mike. For some reason, she thought that was a joke. I don't quite get it, but she responded and said, okay, great. Tell Dan I said hello. And I'm like, okay, I don't get that, but whatever. So I come home with a big 24-foot piece of shit boat because I wanted to buy a crap boat to fix up. Can't buy a good boat. And she's like, wait, what are you doing? And I was like, you said okay. What part of okay is not okay? She's like, well, I thought you were kidding. And I'm like, what part of I'm buying a boat sounds like a joke?
Well, it just on the face of it made no sense. You already have a
But she knew my plan was I'd been looking for one. So anyway, it gets worse because it's kind of a – so I strip the boat down, get rid of all the crap seats.
Hold on.
The,
so know, this, is, this is a – how big of a pontoon boat?
24 feet. 24
feet. And what was wrong with it?
Old.
Old.
Very old. Seats ripped up. Just what I wanted.
Barnacles on the hull, on the pontoons?
No, no. Everything's good, but seats are old. The deck and the pontoons are great.
Did it run well?
Oh, didn't really have an engine that worked. That's beside the point, too. Engine's overrated. We can fix that. So anyway, I bring it home. But then it gets worse because, you know, it's just – I strip it out. I got it looking good, but I can't do anything until I get the other upholstery job done. So the four boys, X1, 2, 3, and 4, are coming up late July for about 2 weeks. And X1, who we rarely talk about, is kind of every year he buys new toys and ships them up here or something. He sees this picture and he's like, Dad, let's turn that into a tiki bar. So it's not going to run this year, so I just anchor it offshore here, and we kind of turned it into a play tiki bar.
A floating tiki bar with no engine and torn up seats.
Yeah. Well, pretty much. Well, no, I'd already pulled the seats out, so it's just a deck. We got some bar seats.
Got it. Okay. So it works. It's like a dance floor. Okay. It's a drinking.
Go drink out in the water. Yeah. So my plan was to do that while the boys were here, and then once they're gone, I'll take it out of the water, I'll put it out, and then when my seats are done, I'm going to switch over the seats in the fall, store it, and then sell it in the spring, because that's when you sell boats. And by my calculations, if everything goes well, I'm going to make 10, maybe 20 bucks on this thing. Maybe.
Unbelievable.
But... So then Mrs. X kind of – X1 is really pushing, don't flip it, make it into a tiki bar. And Mrs. X is like, yeah, why don't you just do that? And I said, great plan, but then I still have the seat, so I'm going to have to go buy a third one. And she made it clear this time that
no
that's
more
not
boats.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll see.
So who do you have to actually go drinking on your tiki barge?
Oh, only when the boys were here.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
So, except for when your boys are up there in Maine, which is a couple weeks a summer at most.
Yeah, they've been here 2 weeks each of the last 3 years since we built their house. Yeah.
So for the other 28 weeks, that the tiki barge just sits empty, listing and sad. Oh. And you and Mrs. X look out the window at it, and she shakes her head disapprovingly.
Oh.
You tuck your chin and just go quietly into the room and watch some baseball and pretend none of this ever happened.
Oh, no. And after I cleaned it up, it was still ugly. She calls it the Bubba Gump shrimp boat.
Oh, my God. Well, look, they say when
it's going to work. It's going to work.
They say you're either winning or learning. I think you're learning. Yeah. I hope you're learning.
I think she's learning. Don't say okay when you don't mean okay.
Yeah, right, right. Like when you say I'm going to go look at a boat, that's not a euphemism for something else. That's like literally I'm going to look at a boat.
Yeah, and I didn't even say look. I said I'm going to buy. She said okay. So, you know, luckily it's in writing in the text, so it's all good.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL preseason live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Okay, let's get into getting our story straight. First of all, before we get to the NFL divisions, and I've got the odds in front of me, MLB, let's recap. Okay. What were your picks this year, over, under, and how are they looking?
Well, on the podcast, we only gave one prop. My big prop of the year was Cruz for Pittsburgh to get over 21.5 dingers. He's had two DL stints. He's supposed to be back, to, and he's been stuck on 18. I still think we get there.
O'Neill Cruz, and O'Neill he is Cruz, on 18. He's got to get over 21?
Yeah, 21.5. Got to get over that.
Shit, he's got a month and a half. Well, he's got a month. He's got a month.
Yeah. Oh, he's
three homers in a month. How hard can that be?
Well, if he's on the field, he hits them. He's been hitting them at a 40 home run pace. He's just had two stints on the injured list, including a concussion right now. So he's just got to get back on the field, and we'll get there. I mean, and you know what? I remember when I gave that pick on a pod, somebody texted me on Twitter or something and said, the reason the number's so low is he always gets hurt. It's his second year.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, whenever you lose an over because a guy gets hurt, it happens. But I'm never betting on a guy to or not to get hurt. It doesn't, you know, you can't do that. But anyway, we'll see. We'll get that.
His career average is .237. This year, he's even hitting worse, .207.
Oh, he is.
So, but we need home runs from O'Neill Cruz. We'll keep our eye on that. That was the podcast prop.
Nobody cares what your average is anymore, right? Don't care. Just hit a homer. That's all they care about. Okay. And he was in the home run derby, if you remember, and he's a beast. I really thought he would go over pretty easily, but too many injuries. But on the website, my top pick over under this year was Boston, 85.5, and the wheels have fell on off the entire first half with the Devers stuff and all the fiascos. But their young players are good, and they're catching fire, and they're tracking to go over by three or four games,
they're
getting better.
71-60 right now, currently in second place, five games back of the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and they are, you know, heck, as long as they can keep playing the Yankees, they'll get there because they own them. Obviously, I'd like my top pick to be an easy win, but I think it's going to get there.
And what's your top pick?
Oh, it was Boston. Oh, over 85.5. Right. Yeah.
And I guess the easiest win would have been the Brewers, who I think are probably approaching the over right now at 81.50. What was their – do you remember what their total was?
I'm going to say right around 82, but that's a guess. I don't remember.
That sounds about right as well.
They're clearly the surprise team by far of the year. No question. I did not like that team. I will tell you, I didn't like them. I was wrong.
Well, everyone was wrong.
Sure how they're doing it.
I did. Yeah. A lot of people are wondering how they're doing it. The power of friendship and good old Patches O'Houlihan, their manager, Murphy, who's been great. Okay, let's get to the NFL. Get your story straight now that we are today, Tuesday, as people listen and download to the pod, will be cut day in the NFL. I don't think there's going to be any huge names out there, because every year you kind of know who your team is going to be. There's only about five spots that are jiggling and up for being contested. So, you know, it's not like a huge day. The league changed the way they did preseason by keeping 90 some odd players in camp all the way to the final cut day. And Mr. X, I find that to be just unthinkably cruel to keep these future truck drivers playing football, dreaming the biggest dreams, when the teams know goddamn well they're not keeping you, you know?
Well, how about this idea, Zay? And before you tell me how stupid it is, remember we used to have six preseason games and they were kind of fun because the starters would play a half. Now we're down to four, now three, and they're still not playing. They say they go through this whole camp and half the time they're looking for two guys on special teams, right?
Yeah.
So why don't the coaches agree to just, like, punt every other play?
Yeah.
I want to see our coverage. You want to see some return guys. We just vanilla three plays and then get to what we want to get to. Well, why don't we just punt 20 times if that's all you want to see, for God's sakes, right?
I don't remember the six preseason game era. I was 10 when they changed it. 1978 was when they changed to 16-4.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Golly, it doesn't seem that long ago.
Well, I mean, you remember it. You're older than me, right?
I am. Yep, I still am.
Still pacing ahead. Okay, so
Zabe, I just went on Medicare, for God's sakes.
Well, congratulations.
I don't know if that's good, but okay.
Start using up all that, all those medical resources there. Be in there every day, asking for new drugs, ask for procedures, ask for scans. Be convinced that the little tinge in your earlobe is somehow cancer, and make them run a lot of expensive tests on you.
Well, the only thing that's good about, I was looking at the turning 65, is that means this is my 38th year of betting football.
Hey, now.
I've done a bit.
Yeah, and you know what? It's gotten easy now because you've got all this years of experience. It's like putting your effort into something that you can become an expert at, like playing the piano, you know, or juggling chopsticks. You're perfect at it now. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's no easier now than ever before. And remember, as we go through
it's harder than ever.
I know. As we go, because the lines are sharper, because there's more data out there. And
no question.
The only question will be, will AI be able to crack the point spread code?
No chance.
That's what one would think, because the football is oblong and pointy and it bounces weird. How would AI know that the NFL wants Mahomes and the Chiefs to be in the Super? Oh, wait a minute. The AI probably does know that.
Yeah. But it's all, you know what? In the NFL, and this is silly and cliche, but damn it, it's true. Injuries, 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 injuries. It's a league about quarterbacks. I was looking at this just before you called, and by my rough count, where did it go? By my rough count, you would think it was right here. Here it is. I counted 15 QBs that played a full season last year. Okay.
Wow.
And by 15, full, okay.
17 of 17?
No, because like Mahomes sat the last game.
So 16 of 17.
I think I counted Mahomes and Stafford because I think they both, well, Stafford I think was hurt. I counted them at 16 because it was a load management sit, not an injury. And of those 15 that I counted, I think they went 12-3 on the overs. Okay. Hey, genius, if your quarterback plays all year, you probably go over. Okay. By my rough math, the teams who had quarterbacks out went 4-13 on the overs. So guess what? If your quarterback's hurt, you go under. Yes, you can say, what if your quarterback sucks like Kirk Cousins? You go under. So it's not just an injury. But if your quarterback played the year, you went over. If your quarterback got hurt, you went under. Okay, there's still a lot more to it than that. But that's why I like unders, because the bottom line is you can be under because you're under, and then you can be under because these guys don't carry backup quarterbacks anymore. The backup quarterback is now a cap thing, not a who's my best backup thing.
Yeah, the backups.
There's no more Jim Harts.
The backups are generally, they're generally quarterbacks who don't make much money. And the coaches think, all right, if I have to put him in, he won't make me vomit uncontrollably the minute I put him in there. He might be able to run the offense, get a play call, relay it to the players, get the snap off on time. So, yeah, that's the way they go in the NFL. All right, so let's get to the division odds. All right. Do you want to start in the AFC or the NFC?
You pick.
Let's go NFC East. Let's use the East Coast senior circuit bias of NFC East to West. Sure. You ready?
Now, are you picking with the odds or just the winners? With the odds?
Just the winners, but I'm going to put the odds out so people can understand the value proposition.
Okay, gotcha.
NFC East, your favorites are the Eagles at minus 160, Commanders plus 225, Cowboys plus 700, and the Giants plus 3,000. I know it's no way to make a buck, but I'd love to bet the opposite of the Giants. Give me the one. You can have the 3,000.
I guess all I would say to that is all you're doing is giving it away for 6 months and then getting it back. But okay.
Right. I mean, the Commanders would be, I guess, the value proposition. I think everyone is very much down on the Cowboys, that they are a very poorly constructed team that is pretty wafer thin besides their three or four big stars that Jerry's put all his money into.
So who do you take?
I would take the Eagles.
Yeah, it's the Eagles. The Commanders are the value. They could win or they could collapse. But if you're just saying who wins, it is Philly.
NFC North, Lions plus 150, the Packers plus 260, the Vikings plus 300, and the Bears plus 450. I still think the Lions are the class of that division, despite losing both coordinators. They've replaced four offensive linemen, but their defense, now that it's healthy, because remember, they were down to just the studs, the bare wood last year at the end of the season, their defense is going to be formidable. Coordinators do matter, but I think they are overhyped at times. I would take, here's my upset prediction, the Vikings. I'm going to count on J.J. McCarthy being good and the Vikings defense, which might be on par with the Lions. I do not believe in Caleb Williams, and I think the Packers are going to bounce around in that meh zone most of the year.
Jane, you ignorant slut. No, I don't agree with you on the Lions. I think losing coordinators does matter. I think Dan Campbell, Mr. Rah-Rah-Rah is great, but they had two good coordinators. I think their window's closing. It's still Jared Goff. That's, you know, come on. And I'm not going to bet on McCarthy either. I'll take the Packers.
Okay.
And NFC, by the way, the Bears could win two other divisions. That's a great division.
Okay. Now the fun, the NFC dirty, dirty South. The Buccaneers are.
Let's move on.
The Buccaneers are minus 110. You don't want to take a value flyer on the Falcons at plus 225?
Not a believer in the Falcons.
Panthers are plus 400, and the Saints are plus a staggering 1,400 in a dog shit division. They're going to be one of the worst teams we've seen in a long time. Like 2-15 is a real possibility.
Oh, not only is that a bad team, that team has tank. If you want to diagram a formula for a tank, it's that team. Rookie head coach, rookie GM, their jobs are safe. They're 2-15 because they're not getting, usually you're like, hey, please lose. And they're like, hey, we want to keep our jobs. Those two rookies are going to keep their jobs and they're going to know what they were handed. And if there's a team that's going to tank, that's them.
Well, you know who is available in theory if he wants to turn pro? Arch Manning.
Arch, yeah.
Where does dad
quarterback in history?
Where does dad play?
Oh yeah, good point.
New Orleans. So yeah,
you gotta love a guy with two starts who's favored to win a Heisman and maybe be the 1-1, and he started two games.
I will be curious to see whether or not the turnaround of the Panthers starting quarterback from Alabama, Young, whether he continues to turn it around, because quietly after he'd been benched, Bryce Young, he played some good football down the stretch.
Hey,
I'm going to pick the Falcons because I can't pick all favorites. Okay. I will believe in Michael Penix Jr. and Bijan Robinson.
Okay. I didn't ever think of this till you just said it, but you know, like Peyton went to Tennessee. He didn't want to follow dad. Where did Arch go? Right to dad's school. So why wouldn't he be the one to go to the Saints?
Good question. Good point. Okay, NFC, who are you taking, Tampa?
Tampa, okay. Yeah.
NFC West, this one's fascinating. The Niners plus 160. They are decimated by injuries right now. The Rams,
like they are every year.
I know. The Rams plus 175. Cardinals plus 400, Seahawks plus 550. I do not believe starting at the bottom in Sam Darnold for the Seahawks, so I can't take them. The Cardinals are perennially disappointing, and this coach they have, I think, is a dipshit. The Rams, it's hard with Stafford being put together with duct tape and chicken wire right now, although he did practice on Monday. So there's that. There was a period in the preseason that people thought he was dead, weekend at Bernie's, because they wouldn't even talk about why was he at the game, why was he not at the game, where is he at, what's he doing, he's got a back problem. Those never get better as the season goes on. And then you get the Niners as the favorite. I mean, this is a pink coin flip to me between the Niners and the Rams.
Yeah. So which one, what'd your coin land up on?
Niners.
Yeah, me too, only because, like you said, what I just said earlier about quarterbacks, if there's a quarterback that, and I like Stafford, but if there's a quarterback that's not going to last this year, it's him. And, God, I can't even think all of a sudden their backup is
Oh, for the Rams, it's Jimmy Garoppolo, and he stinks.
Is it Garoppolo? I thought they had somebody else. Okay, my bad.
Hold on. Hold on. Rams backup QB depth chart. Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett.
Okay. Well, Garoppolo is probably as good a number two as you can have.
Garoppolo is serving 2-game suspension to start the year.
Okay, because Stafford can get two in.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I looked for a lot of reasons to not follow the hype and take San Fran, but I'll be on San Fran. Their schedule is such a joke. They can get through the injuries. You know, everybody talks, if you know what you're doing, you talk about the, quote, three other games, because everyone in the division plays the same schedule except the three others. Well, I mean, look at the Rams, who get Detroit, Philly, and Baltimore, while the Niners get the Bears, the Giants, and the Browns.
Yeah.
Those three games matter a lot.
Right. It's all about who you play at quarterback. Who are your opposing quarterbacks? Sure. By the way, Purdy's backup is Mac Jones, who came via Jacksonville. Mac Jones is not a good QB, but he'll play. He's pretty durable. Purdy is also a bit more reliable than Stafford. That's why I'm going to take the Niners in what is going to be a tight and wild division. Okay.
Yep.
All right. NFC playoffs, while we're in this side of the bracket.
All right.
I'm going to take the Eagles again and the Lions in the title game. Lions is a wild card, and I'm going to take the Lions advancing to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, I know you guys have a big bias here, and I don't. With the value, I like the Packers.
Really?
They're not the best team, but I like the Packers. Just, I don't know. I think they can win that division. They can get a little bit of home games in the postseason. And given their high odds, I think of all the long shots, they have the best chance. And you know me, I like long shots. So I'll take Green Bay.
Against who in the NFC title game?
Against, haven't thought that one through. Let's stick with the Niners.
Okay. You're throwing spaghetti at the wall right now. Okay.
I didn't have a runner up. I didn't have a silver medal planned.
Okay. All right. AFC East. Buffalo minus 350. And the next closest is the Patriots at plus 550. That is a spread of 900 in the futures odds. I believe it's the largest spread between the favorite and the next closest.
Oh, gosh, yes. And for a good reason.
Jets are Dolphins are plus 900 and the Jets are plus 1,800. The Jets will be historically bad again this year. Aaron Glenn, we'll see if he knows what he's doing as a head coach. And Justin Fields stinks. So good luck on that front.
Yeah.
Bills.
That one, the Bills win. You won't see me laying over 3-1 on that. There's just other things to do with your money. But, you know, I thought I was going to like the Patriots all offseason because I really like a lot of things they've done. I've always liked Vrabel. But my gosh. 8.5 win total for them. Whew, that's awfully high for a team that, you know, was as bad as they were last year. Yeah. But I'll take Buffalo easily.
AFC North division winner. Ravens, your favorite at minus 160. The Bengals at plus 260. Steelers plus 550. And the Browns at plus 3,000. One of the worst division odds out there. Woof.
And if you want 4,000, I'll give it to you.
Exactly. The Bengals defense looks like it's going to be just as bad as it always was. I've got durability concerns about Joe Burrow. And the Ravens are just a better all-around team. I mean, it's just, let's not kid ourselves. The Ravens will take this division easily. And, of course, Rodgers in Pittsburgh, he will have his moments. Oh, he will have his moments. He will have his games. There will be long discussions on ESPN about how brilliant this move was. They might even start out 2-1, 3-1. It ain't going to last. Steelers will probably finish right around the typical maddening Mendoza line that is Mike Tomlin, 9-8.
Yeah. I mean, it amazes me. I guess it's like Yankee fans. They're Steelers and Packers, right, to me, are the spoiled fan bases.
Yes.
I don't know this to be true, but I will bet you, if I was a betting man, I would bet you that if you took the win total versus the expected win total, Mike Tomlin wins that easy over the last 10 or 20 years. They always do better than they're supposed to do. And I have learned that lesson too many times. The Bart Simpson chalkboard, don't bet the Steelers under ever again. Don't bet the Steelers under ever again. Don't bet. So I won't touch them anymore. I think I took them under last year, and somehow he got over again.
You know what?
But it's easily. But it's the Ravens division.
We have a lot of Steeler fans who listen. I bet you somebody will come up with a 10-year historical on the expected win totals and see whether or not Tomlin has jumped over that. Okay.
Well, they'll always say he doesn't win the big one, and the answer is they never should. They're not that good.
That's a fair point. AFC South, these teams are all in the pluses. So, in other words, they don't feel great about any one team because they're all in the pluses. This would be the Texans at plus 100, the Jaguars at plus 300, the Colts at plus 350, and the Titans at plus 750 with their rookie quarterback, Cam Ward, the number one pick, who I don't know if it's just my not paying attention to it, but I feel like there's never been a 1-1 quarterback who's gotten less summer hype than Cam Ward. Like, he is off the radar. He's not under the radar, off of it for most people. And they say that he's shown some nice things and he's got a great work ethic. So we'll see. But I don't know. I wouldn't bet this division with Art Schleister's money and Stu Feiner pushing me. But if I had to take somebody, I'm taking the Jaguars to upset the Texans in this division, and I'll take him as a plus 300 value play. Give me the Jags.
Oh, man, that bothers me because they were my easy sleeper pick. I like the Jags a lot this year. They may find their way onto my overplay, and I like them to win that division. You know, the coach of that team, and his name slips my mind.
Liam Cohen.
Yeah. The dude has produced offense. He put up points and wins at Kentucky. Okay, that doesn't happen unless you're Calipari. You don't put up points and wins at Kentucky. And then then all of a sudden he made Baker Mayfield, who everybody said couldn't play in the league, all of a sudden he made him a top QB again.
Right.
I'm not a big Trevor Lawrence guy, but Lawrence did not get a chance to play with Brian Thomas, the receiver last year, but for just a couple games, and he's the breakout potential top five receiver in my book. It doesn't take a lot to win that division. I like Jacksonville a lot there.
Yeah. And of course we'll see how much offense versus defense Travis Hunter plays. I think they're going to find out he's so good as a receiver. He's going to be 80% on offense when it's all said and done.
You know what he's going to be? He's going to be the guy. Everybody who takes him in fantasy and guillotine is going to hate him. But he's going to be a player and help them.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Where are we at here?
West.
I took the Jaguars. We just have to do the West. AFC West, your Chiefs, minus 120 favorites. Denver, plus 300. The Chargers, plus 325. And the Raiders, plus 1,500. Oh, I'd love for this to be the year the Chiefs fall apart. But echoes of me betting against Brady and Belichick haunt me in my dreams. And so, therefore, my conscience will not allow it. I think they're really excited in Denver because they feel like their quarterback is the real deal, Bo Nix. I want to see another year of him first. And I love Herbert for the Chargers, but the Chargers seem to be a cursed franchise ever since they moved out of San Diego, where no matter how good they look on paper, and no matter how hard Jim Harbaugh tries to cheat in the pros, they just are not going to ever get over as a franchise. And the Raiders stink.
Well, you know, I actually said the other day to X2, it's funny you said that, because I said, you know, I'm feeling like the Chiefs are finally going to not win the division. And he goes, how many years did guys say that about Brady and be wrong? And he wasn't meaning you, but he was right. But I'll tell you, I disagree on the Raiders. I think that is probably – everyone says the Vikings-Lions division. I think that is the best division. I think there's three Super Bowl contenders in that division. And I don't think the Raiders are bad. I think the Raiders are good – And I wanted to bet them over, but the division is just too tough to bet them over. I mean, when they get Cleveland.
Excited for Ashton Jeanty of the Raiders?
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way.
Rah-Rah Carroll running that show now?
Hey, you can't upgrade the two most important things, quarterback and coach, more
than the
Raiders just did. They just went from, you know, horrific coaching and quarterbacking to Carroll and Geno, who may not be a fantasy guy, but he's an okay quarterback.
Decent, yeah. They're not disgusting at those positions anymore.
Right.
They don't have a linebacker as a head coach who is way overqualified that got the job just because they won a couple games and he let guys smoke cigars in the locker room after wins. Yeah. Great idea to give him the job.
Yeah, someone like the Raiders to make a bad call like that. Well, no, it's not. But that's a good team. They're just in the wrong division. They could get a lot better and go 7-10. But my pick in that, and I think the Broncos are overhyped, even though their defense is lights out. I'm taking the Chargers.
Okay. All right, so that gets us to the AFC Championship game. I'm taking the Bills and the Ravens, with the Bills going to the Super Bowl. Bills, Lions, Super Bowl. Lions win it.
Okay, Lions over Bills. I say... I also think maybe it's time the Bills finally turn the corner because Casey's not going to be there. Baltimore's awfully good, but for fun, I'm going to say Bills over the Jags and then the Bills over the Packers.
Wow. Jags in the AFC title game. Sexy. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Value play. There you go. Your odds on, according to various sports books, Ravens plus 700, Eagles the same, Bills a tick below at plus 750, Chiefs plus 800, Lions plus 1100, the Packers at plus 1900 or 19-1, Commanders 20-1, Vikings 20, Rams, Niners, Broncos. In other words, the usual suspects, as we like to say. Now, we have left little time because we've run long here, but I've liked what we've gone through today. I want to break this into a two-parter that next week we can talk college. Or is that too late because week one will already be in the books?
Well, we can talk it, but why don't I do this? I'm going to give you my NCAA prop of the year.
Okay.
Because next week would be too late. How's that?
Yes, fair enough. Prop of the year.
Big Ten champion, Michigan Wolverines at 10-1. And here's why, real quickly, is we know the Big Ten's loaded. What do they got? 5 or 6 top 20 teams. And Michigan doesn't play them. They don't play Penn State. They don't play Oregon. I don't think they play Indiana or Illinois, all top 20 teams. So this team's looking at being, and they're a good team. This team's looking at being 10-1, 11-0, going to the Ohio State game. That's a way to sneak into this tournament while the rest of the Big Ten beat each other. So I'm taking them to win the Big Ten. And, you know, 10-1 odds just make no sense to me.
Okay. Who do you like to win the championship?
That's not a play that I'll probably ever make unless it's a long shot.
It's not a play. It's not because there's not enough. The odds are not good enough. They bake too much edge in for the house.
Well, I actually, you know what? I'll tell you who I'm going to bet. I shouldn't have said this, but I'm going to bet Clemson because of the top 10 teams. They have the easiest, I know they'll make it their path. And then I'll worry about it once the playoffs start. That's a good team this year. They haven't been good in a few years. They're loaded with NFL talent, and they're the only Power 5 or whatever you call it now, Power 2, 3, that has a path in. All they got to do is beat Miami and they're in. Everybody else has a tough road. So I'd take Clemson to win it all.
Clemson's 9-1.
That's a good value to me.
Georgia's 8-1. Penn State, plus 650. Texas, plus 550. Yeah. Ohio State, plus 550.
All those teams have a possibility of being really good and sitting home. Clemson's in.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Okay. As always, you can go to his website, callmemrx.com. You can follow him on Twitter at justcallmemrx. As always, bet with your head, no over it. Next week, we can delve a little bit more into college. And, of course, we should probably do season totals. We'll make a few season total bets on the NFL And then we'll figure out what our format is going to be for this season, picking games on this podcast.
Well, since this is our eighth year of doing this, I think it's critical we nail down the format so that everyone can tell us each week we changed it.
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, you know. All right.
Because we do change it every week. It's all good.
Mr. X, you boat buying fool, just please, next time you think about an idea, run it by one of your sons first. Have them talk you out of it. All right, buddy.
Nah, we'll see.
All right, see you, Mr. X. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.